Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church in Wortley Village in London. A special day today, a celebration of All Souls and a celebration of Remembrance Sunday. A cast of almost thousands. We have four vocalists: Paul Gramble, Katie Clark, Victoria Piovison, Jack Sizeland, Steve Hollowitz, our music director on piano and organ, on trumpet, Paul Stevenson, on sound, John Gardy, and I'm Keith Nethery, director of the parish. We begin this morning with an act of remembrance. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Father of all, we pray to you for those we love but see no longer. Grant them your peace. Let light perpetual shine upon them. And in your loving wisdom and almighty power, work in them the good purpose of your perfect will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if for now, for a little while, you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, although you have not seen him. You love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that the Father gives to me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Normally, as we mark Remembrance Sunday, my homily is full of stories about veterans that I have known. Today that won't be. And I thought long and hard about that. But I want to go a slightly different direction and talk about what comes from our understanding of all souls and all saints and salvation. But the veterans that I've known and journeyed with are never far from me. I would invite you to see Tuesday morning's spiritual reflection, which will be emailed out or available on our Facebook page and website, I believe. That will contain those stories of veterans, of what they did for us, and the price that they paid. So many years ago, I decided that if we were to do All Saints around the Sunday closest to November 1st when it's celebrated, that we would need something that would be appropriate as far as readings and prayers for Remembrance Sunday, which would be celebrated or marked 7 days later. And so it made sense to make use of All Saints and All Souls. Most people are familiar with All Saints, not so many with All Souls. It's part of a trio of events in 3 days, with All Hallows' Eve, which has become Halloween. Not that it's really connected with All Hallows' Eve, but there is a way to line that up. But then All Saints and All Souls, which, while having different understandings at start, have come to be morphed into one. So, as the Roman Catholic Church came to an understanding of All Saints, it was for those who were seen to be going straight from this life to heaven. All souls on the next day, given the doctrine of purgatory, which, as Anglicans you know, if you look at the 39 articles, we don't follow, but that was what All Souls was. Those who left to go to that interim place called purgatory, and then on the last day being elevated to heaven. As I say, in an Anglican understanding, we have never bought into the idea of purgatory. And so our understanding of All Saints and All Souls has always been rather murky. I have an analogy that may or may not work for you. It brings it into something we'll understand today. It's like All Saints is Royal Gala Day and All Souls is Macintosh Day. They're both apples. One may be a little sweeter than the other. One may be a little less common than the other, but they're still both apples. So really, it's kind of a 1A, 1B type of thing as we do All Saints and All Souls. Both feed into our understanding of salvation. And for me, the reading from 1 Peter today has become that which I have used to feed my understanding of what heaven is. I've often said and will continue to say, because I think it gives us an entree into this understanding, I don't know what heaven looks like, smells like, tastes like, or feels like. I just believe that heaven is there. I believe that it is real. What we struggle then to do is to understand what heaven is. So from this point, I don't want you to think I'm giving you any answers. All I'm trying to do is give you a whole bunch of questions, because these are questions that I have struggled with in my life of faith. I struggle with the idea of heaven. I struggle with the idea of salvation. I struggle with the theories of the atonement. And to be honest with you, I can't find a theory of the atonement that helps me to understand the purpose surrounding Jesus' death for us. I understand atonement, I understand the death, I understand that it is part of the relationship. I just find that the human constructs that we have put together don't work for me. One of the things that I think that we have not emphasized enough is the way that the church has constantly changed. The church in every generation has grown, shrunk, changed, turned corners, went forward, went backwards, brought in new understandings, took out old understandings. It's a constant changing playing field. And so it has been with salvation and heaven. As I say, you go back into the Middle Ages and look at what the church then was calling purgatory, which is still held onto by the Roman Catholic Church. If I were to ask most people listening, if they didn't have a Roman Catholic background, what purgatory was, they might give me kind of a quizzical look, because it's not something that in Protestant churches, the Anglican Church, that you would hear a whole lot about. But we have gone kind of the other way, in that it's now everybody in. We understand that all of God's people find a place in heaven. Our understanding is, when someone dies, that the God who created and loved them always takes them back. Now, I'm not sure how that has come about. Probably a lot because a lot of people don't go to church anymore. People are more arm's length members, and we have come to an understanding that I talk quite often about: showing up is good enough. So that has now changed into a more contemporary understanding of, doesn't matter what faith you are, doesn't matter what God you believe in or don't believe in, you're still in. I'm not going to judge that. I simply want to give you some perspective on that, because so many people have said to me, well, it's all the same God, right? And as we get into this multi-faith, multicultural, communication-saturated world where we know what's going on the other side of the globe 15 seconds after it happens, it's kind of hard now to say, well, this group is in, this group is out, this group's a maybe. There are still a lot of people in the Christian church who say, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, there is no heaven. And there are just as many people probably now in the Christian church that will say, we're all in. God loves us all. God accepts us all. So how do we get from one to the other? How do we bring the two together? Well, many years ago, N.T. Wright, former Bishop of Durham in Great Britain, and a well-known New Testament author and scholar, was here for a clergy conference, and he said something very interesting. I can't give you the exact quote, but I can go all the way around it. I've since read much of his stuff and spent some time just this week with him on YouTube, making sure that I was on the right track. He said to us, don't get me wrong, heaven's important, but the kingdom of the heaven, the kingdom of God, is here and now, amongst us right now. So he's giving us kind of that dual understanding. There is what we are called to do and be while we are here on earth. And then there is what comes after death as we move to life eternal. Now, this reading from 1 Peter has been so helpful to me because the people that Peter is writing to, those who are people of the way, the Christian faith in the 60s, so 30 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, are starting to feel a little bit put down. Jesus died for us and was resurrected. Why do we have to keep suffering? Why do we have to go through all these trials and tribulations? I've heard, why do we have to go through this COVID thing? Doesn't God love us? Well, as N.T. Wright would say, it's part of the package, what comes along with being a believer. And when he says that, if you ask me, he's right in line with what Peter is writing. So he talks about that inheritance that's kept for you, protected for you by God. through faith, for a salvation that will be revealed. Here's the kicker. In this you rejoice, because right now you got to go through a whole bunch of stuff that isn't a whole lot of fun. So that your faith, more valuable than anything in this world, is tested by fire, which purifies, takes out all the gunk, and leaves the gold. Now here's the clincher for me. Although you have not seen him, him being Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, either in Rome in 64, 65, in that time frame where there were tremendous challenges and tremendous persecutions and tremendous suffering for people who were followers of Jesus, or if you talk about today with the fear of COVID-19, the fear of a universal pandemic, the explosion of mental health problems, people who are suffering financially, people whose health is terrible, people who have died, people who are living in long-term care facilities afraid of what's coming. Even though you do not see him in the midst of all this, you believe in him and rejoice. Not a word you might think. With an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Doesn't really say, well, that will be 2 weeks from Tuesday. It'll be 30 years after you die. It will be when you die. It's right now. It's all those things. That's what I want you to take away today. To take just the slightest of times, and they deserve much more, but to talk about our veterans. Imagine how they felt in combat. Imagine how our troops today, still in harm's way in places. How scary, how terrifying it must be. But it's part of the journey. That's hard to understand. Hard for us to take into our spirits and our beings, because we want to stand on our own strength. But it's part of the journey. So what I can tell you is that I don't know what the answers are. If you ask me, do we all go to heaven immediately? I don't know. Is purgatory a thing? I don't think so, but I don't know. Does everybody go? I don't know. Am I going? I hope so. What does it look like? I don't know. Is it now? Well, could be. It's all right to think that way and to feel that way. Because you see Jesus, and you love him. And even though you don't see him right now, you believe in him. We're called to have that dialogue. We're called to live as people who are supposed to make a change in the world. Are supposed to be the people that represent God. It's a heavy burden. Are we up to it? I'm not. Without God's help, without focusing on Jesus and understanding his love for me and for you and for everyone else, can't do it. Don't want to give you any answers. What I hope you will take away from today is that we need to think about it. We can't just seek simple answers. Oh, I'm in. Oh, yeah, I believe. What is faith? What is salvation? What is atonement? Think about it. Pray about it. But most of all, understand that our relationship with God is a journey. And only God knows how that journey works. I'm okay with that. How about you?
Amen.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Merciful Father, on this day of All Souls. We are called to remember those who have died and pray for their joyful reunion with you, their loving Creator. As your Son taught us to call the stranger neighbor, our fallen are many. Names we will never know. Voices we have never heard. In lands that we may never visit. Yet brothers and sisters all. And so we do pray. For victims of war, caught in the crossfires of conflicts that we could not quell. For soldiers, remembering especially those who served our country and all countries. And with great honor, for those who paid the ultimate price. For civilians, adults, and children, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. For the homeless in our community and in all communities, who have died alone and in distress, whose names we did not even know, whose souls, though, are treasured by God. For those migrants who have died seeking a haven where they hope to find safety and opportunity for themselves and for their families, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. For victims of hunger denied their share in the bounty you have placed before us, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. For victims of COVID-19 and other diseases who died before adequate care could be found or could reach them, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. For those refugees seeking asylum from war who died in a land that was not their home, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. For victims of emergencies and calamities everywhere who died amid chaos and confusion, we pray, grant eternal rest, O Lord. Lord, as you command, we reach out to the fallen. We call on you on behalf of those we could not reach this year. You raised your Son from the dead, that all may share in his joyful resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, those that you love, those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.